heart, after looking at all of the different women I could speak about, he kept bringing me back to Miriam. And so today, I'm going to share with you what God has taught me as I was studying and preparing for this message. And so Miriam was the voice in the wilderness. But the first time we see Miriam is in Exodus 2. But I want to give you a little bit of backstory. Many of you probably know the story of Israel, but some of you may not. So when we meet Miriam in Exodus 2, it all started way back in with Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham, and then he had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob. And the Israel nation rose up out of Jacob and his 12 sons. And so you know the story of Joseph. One of his sons, his second to the youngest son, ends up in Egypt because his brothers didn't like him. They sold him into slavery. And so when we come here, when we meet Miriam in Exodus 2, the Israelite nation has now been enslaved in Egypt because the people forgot who Joseph was. They didn't know who he was because he wasn't second in command at one time in Egypt. Saved them from a famine, the whole shebang, but then they forgot who he was. And so now Pharaoh in Egypt was afraid because God was faithful when he said he was going to increase the number and that he was going to make Abraham into a nation. So the Hebrew people just outnumbered the Egyptians, and the Pharaoh got kind of nervous about that. He's like, these people, if they ever revolt, we're toast, right? And so he made the edict to the Hebrew midwives to kill any male baby. Any male baby born to a Hebrew woman, the midwife was to kill them. Well, that didn't happen. They went back, and Pharaoh was like, well, why are there still male babies? And the midwife said, well, these Hebrew women are built different. They don't wait for us to get there. They just have them babies, and they go back to work. And so Pharaoh was like, okay, well, now what? So then he gives the direct edict to the Hebrew women. If you give birth to a baby boy, you are to throw him in the Nile River. So here they are. These women are enslaved. They have to obey what Pharaoh says. So here we are in Exodus chapter 2. That brings us to chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to them, or if you have your app on your phone. So Exodus chapter 2. And it's kind of funny because we're not even told Miriam's name. We don't know that this scripture is talking about Miriam. We don't even know until the end of chapter 2 that it's talking about Moses. But here we are. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. Now, remember I told you the 12 tribes came from Jacob? Well, he happened to have a son named Levi. And so the Levites, the Levitical law that came through the Levite tribe, that's where all of the priests of Israel came from. So I didn't know that before I started studying this. I didn't know that Moses was from the tribe of Levi. And he was like a purebred, right? Because it specifies that his dad was a Levi and his mom was a Levite. So I found that just kind of interesting. Little nugget there. When she saw that the child was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. That's kind of bold. Like, what would have happened to her if they would have caught her? I don't know. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. And he was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Now, a little bit later, we're going to hear about Moses in some more water, and I just think, you know, Pharaoh's daughter may have named him, but that was the name the Lord had for him. It wouldn't have mattered who raised him, right? So I just think that's pretty cool. So we have a few takeaways here that I want to share with you, just from this section of Scripture. We are our brother's keeper. Miriam was looking out for her little brother, her baby brother. Just think about what this would have meant. You know, she could have watched him being eaten by a crocodile, swallowed by a snake. Who knows what's in that Nile? But she was going to go and look out for him and see what happened to him. And it takes being bold and courageous. What would it have been like? I mean, imagine being Miriam. You've been enslaved with your people. She's just a girl, but she has the boldness and the courage to approach Pharaoh's daughter. And then also to have the wherewithal to be like, you know what, let me get you somebody to nurse that baby. And then she goes and gets her mom. That's pretty crazy. That's bold. What would have happened if they would have found out, like, that's really her baby? You know, that was took a lot of courage. Took a lot of courage. And then a small act of service can have a huge impact. Her brother was saved because she took the time to look out for him. And then her mother got to raise her son for 3 years and got paid to do it. What do you think that made? What kind of difference do you think that made? Pharaoh's daughter could have said, yeah, nurse this baby and just do it because you're a slave. But she paid her to do it. God was so faithful. I'm sure that made a huge difference in the life of the family. Not to mention, like, if you're a mom, if you had the choice to give up your child to death or to be raised in a home where he was going to get the best education, where he was going to get to eat the best food and he wasn't going to live enslaved, what would you choose for him? What an impact her one small act of service made for her family and for her brother. Obscurity does not equal insignificance. We're not even told Miriam's name in this section of scripture. But her courage and her boldness as a young girl set in motion God's plan to use Moses to deliver Israel. She had no idea at that time what that baby's future would be, but God did. And he used Miriam to help that plan along the way. The fourth thing that I get from this section of scripture is that there is no stopping God's plan, and there is a part for you to play in it. It wouldn't have mattered, I don't think, what would have happened, whether Miriam was there or not. God would have redeemed Moses. He would have saved him, but he used Miriam because that was the plan he had for her life. God has a plan for innovation. He has a plan for your families. He has a plan for your communities, and you have a part to play in it. We don't get to meet Miriam again until Exodus 15. And again, a lot happens between Exodus 2 and Exodus 15. Moses is raised. He ends up killing a guard because he sees how they're treating his people. He runs away scared. He ends up, you know, meeting the Lord through a burning bush, and the Lord calls him to deliver the people, to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And then when we get to chapter 15, we see we're at the place where the Israelites have fled. The Egyptian army, Moses changed his mind. He said, you know, no, you can't go. First he said you could go, no, now you can't. And they're chasing him. And this is where the Red Sea splits, or the Reed Sea, just depends on what you're going to, who you're listening to. But where we get to scripture in 15, where we get to meet Miriam again, is on the other side of that. So that they have just been delivered through dry ground, through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army has been swallowed up because God had released the waters, and they were free. And then we meet Miriam again. And it says in chapter 15, verse 20 and 21, it says, when Pharaoh's horses, then Miriam, the prophet, isn't that interesting? We learn that she's a prophet. Aaron's sister, we learn that she's Aaron's sister. Did they tell us she's Moses' sister yet? No, but we can deduce that, right? Because we know Aaron's Moses' brother. Took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her. With timbrels and dancing, Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. So it's really, you know, you can gain a lot from just this short scripture. And these are the takeaways I have from this adult Miriam that we get to meet here in Exodus 15. Just because God doesn't call you to the lead role doesn't mean your supporting role is not just as important. Let me say that again. Just because God hasn't called you to a lead role doesn't mean your supporting role isn't just as important. Where would Moses have been if not for his sister saving him as a baby? What role do you think Miriam had to prepare the Israelite, the Hebrew people, while God was preparing Moses? Do you think she was a prophet? And we know that prophets, God spoke through the prophets and gave his word to his people. So I believe that Miriam was preparing God's people. God was using her to prepare their hearts and minds to be delivered from Egypt while he was preparing Moses to do the delivering. That's a very significant role to play, isn't it? And she was a prophet, and the women respected her enough to follow her when she led them to praise the Lord and exalt the Lord. And then also Miriam worked alongside her brothers to help lead the people out of Israel. Leadership and influence. The second thing is leadership and influence are built as a result of our saying yes to whatever God asks of us. Miriam said yes when God called her, Miriam said yes to God when she went courageously to see what would happen to her baby brother. She said yes when she was called to be a prophet while enslaved under the Egyptians. Can you imagine that? You're called to share the word of God to an oppressed nation of people. How easy would that be? Probably not very easy. You're called to share the word of God, to lift them up, to give them hope and courage, but yet they're living in an oppressed state. Sometimes I feel like that in today's world, don't you? Where people are dealing with all kinds of relationship issues and drug addiction and all of the things, and we're called to be the hope and the light of the world. I believe Miriam had a heavy, heavy calling on her as well. And she said yes when she was called to lead the people in praise and worship after being delivered. The third thing is we should respond to God's work in our lives with heartfelt worship and praise. By sharing our gratitude, we can inspire others to do the same. Oftentimes, I don't know if you've ever been around people who you ask them how it's going and they're like, oh, I'm surviving. I'm making it day by day. But then you come across other people who you know they've gone through it. They are in the thick of it right now, and you ask them how they're doing, and they say, God is good. He is faithful. He's seeing me through. I may be going through trials, but I know he's going to deliver me out of it. I know he's with me. He's given me strength to endure. How do you feel when you leave a conversation from someone like that versus the other? You feel lifted up and inspired. It's because they have found a way to praise God through it and to have a heart of gratitude. Men and women working beside one another and not against one another builds unity in the body, in our church. A house divided cannot stand. That's scripture. A house divided cannot stand. So we're called to be working beside one another, and we are so much more effective. Do you think that they would have been as effective delivering the people of Israel if God hadn't already used Miriam to prepare the people while he was calling Moses? Probably would have been a lot harder to get those people to leave. They probably still would, because God is God and he has his way, but just saying. We don't see Miriam again until Numbers, and she's mentioned a couple of other times, and I want to share those times with you too, because I think it's important. God wants us to hear it. So we get to Numbers chapter 12, and again, a lot more history has happened. They've been wandering around the wilderness for a while. The Israelites have been moaning and complaining, even though God has been providing for them, they're still complaining. mumbling and groaning. And I don't know about you, but after I've been around a lot of mumbling and complaining and groaning and moaning, I kind of start to do the same thing. Does that happen to you? Yeah, it's kind of contagious, right? So I think that's kind of what's happening here in Numbers. So let's read Numbers 12. Can't read that up there because my eyes. Numbers 12 says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. Uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. So the three of them went. They went out to the tent of meeting, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. They're just a couple, I guess, you know, Aaron and Miriam. When the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. And I want you to listen to the words too. Look how intimate God knows us and how he knows exactly what to say to us when we need correction. What did we learn in that last scripture? What was Miriam? A prophet. Now listen to what the Lord says. When there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. Don't you think Miriam would have known how God speaks to the prophets? Because she was one. So what was he saying to Miriam here? He's like, stay in your lane, Miriam. You know, just stay in your lane. There's a few things I take, four to be exact. But before I go into those, the last half of that, I'll just summarize it for you. So God goes back up, the pillar of cloud disappears, he leaves. And Aaron is like, whoa. And he looks over to his sister, and he's like, whoa. She's struck with leprosy. So he's like, oh my goodness. And he immediately cries out, and he goes to Moses, and he recognizes Moses' authority in the situation. He actually calls him Lord. He said, Lord, forgive us for our foolishness. So he repents immediately. And he said, look at our sister. Please pray to the Lord that she'll be healed. And so Moses immediately prays to the Lord that she'll be healed. And you know it, God in his faithfulness and his grace and his mercy, he says, yeah, I'll heal her, but she's got to go to timeout for a little bit. she's got to sit outside the camp for about 7 days, and then she can come back in. But the takeaways I have for this part of Scripture is that jealousy and pride cause division. She showed jealousy. She and Aaron both did because of, hasn't God spoken through us too? Well, sure he has. But that doesn't make you any more important than him speaking and using Moses. You're called to do what I've called you to do, not what I've called Moses to do. Because it causes division. Jealousy and pride cause division. If you see that anywhere, if you see division, you can probably be pretty sure that jealousy and pride are at the root of it. If you see jealousy and pride, you can be pretty sure that division's coming. So be aware, be alert for division and jealousy and pride. It doesn't belong in the house of God. The second thing is, God will discipline those he calls, but he will also show mercy. He disciplined Miriam, but he showed mercy because we'll see that her story is not over yet. Be content in the role that God has called you to. Scripture says Scripture says, I knew you before I knit you together in your mother's womb. He created you specifically in the time that he created you, to the people he's put in your life, to your family from the smallest hair on your head, the color of your eyes, your personality traits, your passions, all of that was given to you by God. And he designed you uniquely for the plan he has for your life. So why should we think we know better than God and try to be somebody else than he created us to be? It's kind of arrogant. I used to do it all the time. Don't covet someone else's calling. Focus on your purpose. Don't covet someone else's calling. You can't fulfill your purpose by trying to be somebody that God didn't create you to be. You cannot fulfill your purpose trying to be someone God didn't create you to be. And you'll miss a whole lot of fulfilled life and blessings trying to be something you weren't created to be. And you know, some of us, we look at other people and we see them, they're getting the limelight or they're in leadership or who knows what, you know, we just look at them and we think, wow, wouldn't that be nice? But the fact of the matter is, we're not built for certain roles. I'm not built to do certain things. And if we were to walk a mile in their shoes, the sacrifice, the demand, the criticism, all the things that you don't know about that role, you might not be able to handle. At least not in the time that you're in. You may have had a dream or a vision from the Lord that he's calling you to do something, but the timing just might not be yet. It's because he's preparing you for that. He probably, just like Joseph, he gave him a dream, but he had to go through a lot of preparation before he was ready to be the second in command for Pharaoh. So just remember, just stay in your role, stay in your lane, right? And be content in it. We don't see Miriam again until Micah. Micah was a prophet too, and it's way back here, after all the major prophets. And in Micah 6, we know that God speaks through his prophets. This is the Lord speaking through Micah, and he says this. He says, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. So this is God speaking to the Israelites, reminding them of who he used and what he's done through the people who said yes to him. So he gives credit to Miriam, even though she was being arrogant before and he had to discipline her and put her in time out. He's still reminded the descendants of the Israel nation who she was. So here's some takeaways. We got four more. There's our notes in the app if you follow along. It's kind of a little late to say that, but the first one is mess-ups don't diminish our past contribution, and they don't determine our future impact. When Miriam messed up, opposing her brother, it didn't change the fact that she saved him from the Nile. It didn't change the fact that she was a prophet. It didn't change the fact that she led the women in worship. It didn't change the fact that she helped prepare the people of Israel. It didn't diminish the contribution that she had already made. And then we see that God still used her in service because he's giving her credit here. He's referencing her here. So we know that he still held her close to his heart. So it didn't diminish her future impact either. She got to come back into the camp after her time out. He still used her after the discipline. So I think sometimes we see, or we may even feel, like we've messed up, God's done with me. That's not the case. Your story can still be redeemed. Second thing is, God is faithful to complete the good work he began in us. Isn't that good news? Just because we aren't exactly where he's called us to be doesn't mean we're not going to get there sometime. He's faithful to complete the good work in us. The third thing is that true leadership is not about perfection. There's only one perfect person in this world, and that was Jesus. True leadership isn't about perfection, but courageous service, heartfelt worship, and humble submission to God's will. You have to be courageous to do the things God calls you to do. I know that because fear tries to snuff it out all the time. Fear will try to keep you from fulfilling the purpose God has put on your life. And fear can look like a lot of different things. Fear of not having enough time with your family. Fear of what people will think of you. Fear of losing friends or family because of it. Fear can look like, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe, you know, even Moses said, Lord, I can't speak to Pharaoh. I'm not eloquent. But God chose him. He could have done it. But God, in his graciousness, sent his brother Aaron. He said, fine, I'll speak. You tell Aaron, and Aaron will tell Pharaoh. But we have to be humbly submitted. Moses didn't say no. He just said, help. Send me help. Your yes today could lead to the deliverance of an entire community of people. Miriam didn't know that her yes to look after her brother would lead to the deliverance of the Israelite people. I'm sure even when she became a prophet, I'm pretty sure, I don't know. I don't know this to be true. It's not in scripture. But I would think, just knowing my own experience with the Lord, because he doesn't give you the whole picture. He doesn't lay it all out in front of you when he calls you to say yes. He just calls you to say yes, and you're supposed to say, okay, I'm going to jump. I don't think she knew that she was going to be preparing the people of Israel to be delivered when she said yes to becoming a prophet. I'm sure God revealed that to her over time as he was preparing her at the same time he was preparing the people. Your yes to serve in the nursery, to love on some babies, there might be a little baby Moses in there. You don't know. To serve in Innovation Kids or the youth, to spend your time, to sacrifice your time to serve, to help be the body of Christ, to help be the church, to greet people, to welcome them. You don't know what your smiling face might mean to somebody who walks through the doors. I just got to tell you, last week we had a young woman come with her two kids, and she tried to commit suicide that week. And because we didn't have enough people serving in the kids department, because we have certain ratios that we have to do for safety, she was turned away, and she left. That breaks my heart. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. God needs your yes. He needs your sacrifice. Because there are people hurting, and there are people that he has designed for you to be the one to reach out and bring them to Jesus. So I'm going to close. I feel like I'm doing pretty good because I tried this. I gave this, you know, practice this message, and it went over an hour every time. So you guys, I'm doing good. And you're welcome because you're going to get out on time, okay? But today, God is calling you to say yes. For some of you, that may mean yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. For some of you, it may be that you have said yes, you've been serving, but you're tired, you're weary, you're worn out. Paul says, keep fighting the good fight. Run the race with endurance. And when you've done everything else, stand and then stand some more. I have been through seasons in my life where I felt like I wanted to pull back and not do what God's called me to do because family's commitments and this and that. I had every excuse. I'm tired, God. But he is our strength. He is our fortress. And he is calling us to lean in because we need an army of people, believers, because this world needs us. So I'm going to give you an opportunity for those of you that God has been knocking on your heart to recommit to serving in the church, to reaching the body of Christ, to come forward at the end. We'll have prayer partners up here, but right now we're going to just take a moment. For those of you who haven't committed to your life to Christ, we're going to say this all together. If you'll repeat after me, we'll just close our eyes and pray if you want to follow me. We say it together because you're not alone. We want to be on this faith journey with you. There's a QR code for a book if you haven't gotten it yet. But if that's you this morning, We'll just all say it together, and it's a recommitment for us to remind ourselves of our commitment that we've made to the Lord. So just repeat after me. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you gave your life on the cross for my sin. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And you are that Savior, Jesus. I surrender my life and my will to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I commit to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.